This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. Gotta make it happen. There you are, new series. I don't care if Craig Porter Jr.'s dribbling the ball. Forget about it. Game's over. He can do that in Independence in a couple of days. Focus on that. The Cleveland Cavaliers are winners. I don't have a final score for you, but I will. I'll get there. It's 2-1. Series is 2-1. And you know what? Best part about it? Game's not close. Game's not close. I said I wanted a dominant win. I wanted something to kill the momentum of the Indiana Pacers. And you know what you got today? You got something to kill the momentum of the Indiana Pacers. Absolutely no chance throughout the entirety of the game. First quarter, gave a little bit of fight. But by the time that you actually got to the end of it, no chance. If you guys want to get your thoughts in on a Cavs 126-104 win over the Pacers, get the series back to 2-1 and looking to take two games in Indiana coming up this weekend. You can do it at 216-474-0092 as well on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. With that, let's react to the Cavs the only way fit possible. Let's do it with 3 and Out.
Post-game reaction on The Fan starts now. It's time for 3 and Out. Overtime with Jake Volnick, Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
All right, kicking things off here on first down, very simply. Why on earth were you inactive for game two? I mean, listen, Darius had some toe issues down the stretch, but like Evan Mobley looked really good. I thought Evan looked really good. I don't think that bothered him at all. DeAndre Hunter, maybe a little back and forth. Maybe bothered him a little bit. But like all of the guys who were inactive ended up playing really good games. Like Evan Mobley dropped off a little bit towards the end, but he ends with 18-13, 4 assists. And oh, by the way, chalk it up, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Defensive menace. Ankle didn't seem to be bothering him that bad. Darius Garland, rough night from the field. But 10 points, he does perfectly fine. Not the best way for Jackson Sweet Prince to end things out.
But they got it done. Got it done. The offense, I will say, I think looked a lot better with Darius in it. And as well, DeAndre Hunter adds 8 points, 5 rebounds to the total. He didn't look great, but he didn't need him to. Absolutely did not need him to. And the reason as to why, well, that's coming up here with second down. And that's because Donovan Mitchell is a bad, bad man. My God, 43 points. Adds 9 rebounds, 5 assists to the total as well. Donovan, I don't want to say he put the team on the back. He also kind of put the team on the back. He knew what he had to do. Went to the fourth quarter, decided to be a fourth quarter killer. I had mentioned at the start of the show, prior to getting things sort of kicked off, that I did think with the guys coming back, Donovan was going to be much more efficient. Well, he was about as efficient. 14 of 29, still took the 30 shots, 5 of 13 from deep. He definitely got the long ball reeled in, which is something that we've been waiting on. But another 40-point performance coming out from Donovan Mitchell, which is an absolute must. An absolute must if you're going to actually, I think, continue to compete in the series. What we've learned so far, Donovan can kill the Pacers. The Pacers have no answer for him right now. And there's nothing else that you can do except move on to third down. The Cavs defense has figured it out. Absolutely. Tyrese Halliburton was a non-factor tonight. An absolute non-factor. I mean, overrated for what? And maybe overrated for that. And that might be the overrated. I mean, when you take 8 shots in a playoff game playing 30 minutes as the team's premier scorer and you end with 4 points. Guys, you know the things we would say if Donovan Mitchell ended a game with 4 points? You know the calls I would have to take here if Donovan Mitchell ended with 4 points in a game? I'd be losing my mind. You'd all be calling for Donovan's head. Tyrese Halliburton puts up 4, doesn't necessarily facilitate the ball all that well, considering Obi Toppin had the same amount of assists as he did. They had every answer that you could possibly ask for. There was nothing that the Cavs did tonight that really felt like it didn't work. They were able to do everything that I wanted to see them do and more. The intensity on defense was there. It was matched. I don't think any of the guys who were dealing with injuries had any problem in keeping those going and the momentum and running the Pacers off the three-point line and making it a very difficult process for them to actually go through and continue to play the way that they did. And just incredibly happy. Tyrese Halliburton, no ability. You held the Pacers, finally coming back to earth, shooting just 30% from three. It's good. Definitely good. And with it, let's punt the ball. All right, Cavs move to 2-1, trailing in the series, 2-1 to the Indiana Pacers. But series not over. You got to win another one in Indiana. Don't want to see you go down 3-1. If tonight was any indicator, I like the way that game 4 is starting to look. That's going to be at 8 o'clock on Sunday. Night game, get primetime Sunday. Should be pretty good. Got plenty more to get to throughout this game, but I want to hear from you guys. Cavs absolutely bouncing back. Is this it? Are you now back in the corner after watching tonight? Cavs win the series. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. The man who's always here after the game. The mayor of hoops. It's Ken in Brooklyn. What's going on, Ken?
Good evening, Jake. As your screener said, how do I feel tonight? A hell of a lot better than I did the other night.
I mean, you were basically calling it, and listen, I don't blame you, when all three guys were injured and hopes were looking bleak. But you were like, down 2-0, it's not looking good. I definitely am with you, Ken. I feel a lot better tonight.
You know what, though? I hope the coaches pull a Ty over to the side and get a monitor and show him what he's doing, because he's short-arming the ball. I watched him all night. He's not following through with his shot. And because that's why he's always short. I talked about this the other night. And I can't believe that one of our coaches has not said, hey, Ty, this is what's going on. You got no lift on your shot. Do you have a problem with your legs or what? That's what happens when you're a shooter and you keep hitting the front of the rim. All right? And, you know, if that's the problem, and you're still having an issue, go to the basket and put it off the board and hit the square. Okay? Do something, and maybe if you see the ball go through the hoop, maybe things will get better. But I hope Indiana understands, and if there's ever any wanderers from Indiana here, because I don't know if you know this or not, Jake, but they used to have on their license plate, Wander Indiana. Well, there's probably a lot of fans wandering tonight, thinking they were going to just sweep through the second best record of team in the NBA. I'm sorry, that's not happening. And I really believe with all our guys here, we could technically, I believe, that we could win the next three games. This team is not going to put up with this. And I just want to let everybody know out there in the radio land that Ken and Brookman, the mayor of Hoops, the one and only, had almost a 40-minute conversation with somebody at the NBA offices the other morning. And this guy told me, I says, look, if I don't do my job correctly, I won't be working where I'm working, okay? And if the officials don't do their job, don't give me this garbage about the two-minute report. It doesn't change anything. It's time to institute a policy of if you can't do your job, you're going to start piling up demerits. And when you get so many demerits, you're going to get fined and you're going to get suspended. Because these guys, I said, do you understand why so many arenas that most people are yelling, ref, you suck? Because you do. That's a fact. And I said to him, I said, you know what? If this doesn't stop, one day you are going to see a number of fans come out of those stands, and I feel sorry for an official. I says, you think I'm kidding? No, we're going to go right back to Ron Artest. Okay? And I'm tired. I told him, I'm tired of this. And he only told me, yeah, I'm getting a lot of calls like this. So probably a lot of them are from Cleveland. And Cleveland, keep doing it, because I told this guy right out, you owe us two games, because this series should be even. Going back to Indiana. So I'm very, very happy. Our guys are back. And we're 64-18 for a reason, Jake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if like I said, Indiana, it's time to start waking up. Because I hope that they do the same thing come Sunday evening. Because if they do, we're going to have Indiana with their tail between their legs.
I think we might already have them there, Ken. I appreciate the call.
No problem.
I just, again, this is a night, and by the way, Ken's entirely right. Ty Jerome is just an absolute, I don't know what's happening here. I have no clue what's happening with Ty Jerome. He's 10 of 42 in the series. 10 of 42 doesn't feel that great. And by the way, in the last two games, a clean 2 of 22. You can't do it. You cannot go through and continue to play the way that you did and expect to get away with it in Ty. And you know what? I have to say props up to Kenny Atkinson because Ty Jerome played 13 minutes tonight. You didn't have it. You don't get to continue to be on the floor. You have to be better. Like, I don't think Ty's a good player. Rewind. I don't think Ty's a bad player. But sometimes the matchup isn't there for you. And clearly, the matchup is very bad for Ty against the Pacers. Again, a ton of pesky defenders over there. It's very difficult for them to get it going. Go back out of the phones real quick. Ernie is in Middleburg Heights. What's going on, Ernie?
Hey, I just got to say it. Watching this game, take the referees out of it. This is the first game Indiana actually played the Cavaliers tonight. They met our whole team. They seen what we're capable of. Honestly, I think this series is probably going to go 6 or 7, but I give it to the Cavs. And I think this is the toughest series we're going to face going to the finals.
I mean, I would sure hope so, Ernie. I appreciate the call. I mean, it has to go 6 or 7. Those are the only two options of the Cavs win, but I get what you're saying. I mean, we are in, again, a spot right now where, listen, we're going to be, and we're probably going to ride this win a little bit too hard, I'll be honest. We're probably going to get too much into it, the fact that the Cavs were just pure dominance. I expect the Pacers to make adjustments. I expect them to play you closer in nights going forward. But, like, yes, this is the real Cavs. Ernie's right. This is the first time they played the Cavaliers. And, you know, you still didn't play the entire Cavaliers because Darius is still – the toe is hurting, got into foul trouble early. Like, I don't even think that Darius is back full speed. But you're getting to a spot where it looks like these guys are getting to full strength. And if that's the display they can put on, well, hopefully they continue to put on. And by the way, Cavs didn't particularly shoot well tonight either, and they haven't in this series period, but it was another night where they shot less than 30% from beyond the arc. That's got to break. Like, in one of these games, it has to break. Indiana's good defensively. Cavs are also really good offensively. It's going to break. You're going to pour it on at least one more game this series. I'd love it if it was in Indiana, because I'd have a whole lot more confidence heading back to Cleveland after two blowout wins. That's a Sunday problem, though. Again, 216-474-0092. Your reaction to the Cavs 126-104 win. Is it time to take Ty and maybe reduce those minutes for the rest of the series? We'll get to that and put a bow on this thing right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Good news is Cavs are winners, 126-104 over the Indiana Pacers to go down now just 2-1. Game 4 coming up on Sunday, and I want your guys' reactions at 216-474-0092. Let's continue the conversation with Alfonso, New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
Not much, Jake. Well, good job by your guys' Cavs tonight. You know, not the biggest, I'm not a Cavs fan, but, you know, I wanted to call and give my thoughts as an NBA watcher. I think the Cavs played good tonight. I think they played really good tonight. At first, in that first late first quarter, you know, I was kind of like, oh, is Indiana going to get them again? And then the Cavs just went on a avalanche, as like you guys like to call it, and took over, which was good for them. But I still say Cavs in six, because I don't know, but Cavs in six, obviously, because if they were going to win the series, they'd have to go to six. So, yeah, I still say Cavs in six. I don't think Indiana wins another game if everyone plays, but, you know, it's the playoffs, so you don't know what could happen.
Yeah, and I expect Indiana to come out hotter, and Alfonso, I appreciate the call. I expect Indiana to, again, come out better on in games four and beyond. I don't expect every game to look like this, as much as I love the fact that it did look like this, and I want to believe every game's going to look like this. Indiana's going to shoot better from beyond the arc. They shot 30% from three. They're going to have games where they shoot better. And Cavs get a lot of credit. Kenny Atkinson gets a lot of credit tonight in the way that he ran the rotations, the way that he had his team playing defense. No doubt about it. Brandon's in North Ridgeville. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, what's up, Jake? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Good. I mean, I'm feeling great after that. Hey, I just wanted to call. One, great win. Two, I guess I'm just concerned a little bit about Ty Jerome's play. It's just, you know, what happened to the guy that we saw in the regular season in Miami? I think in order for us to be able to, you know, move forward with some success, we're going to need to see more out of him. But I applaud Kenny's rotations, like you mentioned, of knowing when a guy doesn't have it, put him on the bench and let, you know, the main guys do the work. So that was really good to see. I'm glad we switched to a zone as well. I think that was a key
really nice
difference. Something had to change, and I love the intensity we brought. And again, I can't say enough about Max Strus. The guy's a winner, and he's just such a key figure to have on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely incredible, and Brendan, I appreciate it. Listen, we talked about Max Strus earlier in the year. I might have said some things. I'm taking him back, okay? I'm taking him back. Max is very good. He's been very good in the playoffs.
He's been loose.
Strus is loose for sure. I mean, listen, I said that I probably wouldn't have him in the starting lineup, but he's clearly shown he works really well in the starting lineup. I think his defense, even throughout the year, has honestly improved, because you put him on some of the better players on the team. Like, he is sort of your defensive stopper in that starting lineup. And despite being undersized, and I think it works really well against Indiana with the defensive stopper that you need on Tyrese Haliburton, and less so maybe when you play like a team like Boston where it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and he's undersized. But it's good. Like, he's played absolutely incredible. Offensively, he's been lights out. He's probably been the Cavs, dare I say, second best player throughout this playoff series. If not, he's probably third throughout the entire playoffs. He lit it up against Miami a couple of times too, and he's lit it up this entire series. He's just been really good. But I think the comment on the tie is really where I give Kenny Atkinson the applause. Like, tonight, this is a big game. You need to win this game. Ty clearly doesn't have it. Okay, you have the luxury of moving away from him. Because when you're saying Ty doesn't have it, it was, okay, Game got kind of close in the first quarter. Let's take Ty out. Didn't play him the entire second quarter. Instead, you turned to Sam Merrill. As things continued to go on, you saw Ty not play, and he put him back in and saw he didn't have it again. And instead of just, you know, banging his head into a drum, which he had to do in game two because he didn't have anybody else to turn to, really, he recognized it and he said, okay, Ty's playing 13 minutes tonight. Like, that's what it is. I can't trust him down the stretch. The problem is maybe this works in game three. You know, maybe it works the rest of the Indiana series. It's not going to work beyond that. You can't just not play Ty Jerome. The team's not necessarily deep enough. And I think everything that Ty's provided to you this year, you don't want to eliminate him from the rotation. But it's not like there's things that they're doing that's not helping out Ty. It's Ty not helping out himself. Ty not executing. Because I'm watching, and a lot of the shots that Ty's missing are all of the shots that I watched him make in the regular season.
He's like forcing the floater too much. Way too much.
So I think to one degree, like we look at it and we go, you're forcing it. I also think we looked in the regular season and there were times
he where made it like every time.
Right. And
which
it was
is
like,
why he keeps, yeah. I get why he keeps it, but come to a little bit of a realization, Ty, like after you shoot a couple and they're not dropping, let's not just go right into the paint. I mean, he's got people right in front of him contesting the floater. Dish it off or something. Like, don't force it to go up. You still have your dribble. You could jump stop and pivot to find someone else. Don't just throw it up to throw it up. Like, that was the most frustrating thing in this game. In the first quarter, in the beginning of this game, was he'd just get in the paint. There'd be a defender there contesting him, and he would just throw it up.
I think part of it that we look at is we look at Ty, and like, I agree with you. He's definitely forcing it. But part of the thought process behind he's forcing it is I think that there were times in the regular season where he also forced it, but it just dropped.
Game one against Miami, too.
It's like he's going to it every time, and somehow it continues to fall over and over and over again. So I don't know what the adjustment is. Like, Ken in Brooklyn's throwing out there, like, he's short-arming everything, which he probably is. Like, as an NBA player, that should be an easy fix. I'm sure somebody's in his ear being like, Ty, follow through on your shot. Like, extend, follow through. You have it. It's still something else. There's a mental block there. And Ty's not somebody that I ever looked at this year and go, well, I just don't know that he has the confidence. Ty Jerome's had the confidence all year long. There's been no debate. But at this point, it's like you go out there and you continue to look confident. The shots that you're taking are more than confident. But it's like not even he, it feels like, thinks that they're actually going to drop. He's putting them up because it's the way he's played all year long. It just needs to be a reflection for Ty. Because if you keep playing like that, yeah, you're going to play 13 minutes in the series. I'm going to use you to get some guys off their feet because you can still be usable if I tell you not to shoot the ball as much. But I just want you to start making the shots. I want you to get some more open shots and actually start knocking them down. Get a little bit of a rhythm. Because when the floater's not working, we got to see something else. But you're going to need Ty. And I would be willing to bank on the fact you're probably going to need him in this series. At some point, you're going to need the production. You almost needed the production tonight. Like, with Darius picking up and getting into foul trouble, had that game remained closer, you would have needed Ty to step up. Or else it's all going on Donovan's shoulders, which we saw happen. And then Donovan's, you know, tired by the end of the fourth quarter, and that's where things go haywire. But he has to be able to find it in this series. Darius gets into foul trouble. Donovan gets into foul trouble. God forbid we go through another injury. And even if not, Ty's supposed to be the guy in your lineup. You know, in the regular season, he's playing 25, 28 minutes. 13's not supposed to be the normal number. He's supposed to be dialed in. And in reality, it's two bad games, yes. But it's two abysmal games. Like, two of the worst games I've seen. You have to be better. You cannot continue to play like this. You didn't need it tonight, and it was a good thing. Something tells me by the end of the series, though, you are going to need it. Ty's going to have to be able to hit his shots. So it's not even like I'm dying you to stop shooting. I'm just dying you to find a rhythm in one of these games before you just continuously go back to the floater. Just find a rhythm. Get a layup. Watch one or two go through. Maybe hit a shot. Shoot a three or two. I mean, just anything. I need to be able to see it out of Ty Jerome. I think that's really your missing piece right now. Everybody's back. As long as Ty goes back to scoring, probably shouldn't have much of a worry in this series. It's 2-1. You got a game on Sunday, which, of course, we'll react to on Monday night. We'll talk Browns training camp as well, and we're back with you guys 7-11. But we're out of time for tonight. So a big thanks to Jax Gregory today running the board. A big thanks to Michael Markoch on the 2020s as well, doing work behind the glass. And as always, a big thanks to you guys. Great on the phones, great on social media. Let's get excited for a Cavs series. Let's get this thing back home. Let's get it 2-2, all evened up. Let's all be happy campers getting to a game 5. Sounds like a good plan. Glad we all agree. But again, we'll be back 7-11 on Monday. Until then, the Fan Rewind. It's coming your way next. It's been Jake Volnick. Love you, Cleveland.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not there yet. Tonight will go a fair... Like, I think tonight the Cavs are going to win. And I do think if the Cavs win tonight, I think they're going to win the series.
So, all right, so if it's not 7, that means, do you think that if they win tonight, then they're just going straight through and winning the next 4?
I think the Cavs are fully capable of, taking the next 4 games.
So I do too, and it's also because I think the Celtics are more than capable of taking the next 4 against the Knicks too.
Yeah, well, and I just think it's...
A lot of the similarities between the two series.
I think what you saw in game 2 is the Pacers don't have a lot of, like, and-thens, right? Like with the Cavs, when they're at full health, we can beat you this way, and then we can beat you this way, and then we can beat you this way, and then we can beat you this way, and we'll punish you in the paint. We'll punish you from outside. We'll play great. Like, there's so many different ways. We'll play with pace. We'll slow it down. When they're at full health, they can play a lot of different styles of game, where Indy, their best self is if they're kicking it up.
Yeah, they got to go, and then they have to score a ton too, obviously, because that's what they do best.
I just think, like, I want to be careful with how I say this, because this, in effect, feels like an elimination game. I think we've seen the best the Pacers can offer you, and so I outside of health, like other than like the only other way I can see this either not going the distance or the Cavs just not winning this series outside of health, it's just, well, 2-0 was too much for you to overcome.
Which shouldn't be. Again, we got to keep health in mind, but it shouldn't be. We've seen this team multiple times throughout this series have 10 plus game win streaks. Like, if anybody can string together 4 wins in a row, it's this Cavs team.
Yeah. So it's so funny. I think I am finally nervous about this game, but I'm also wildly confident.
Yeah. How'd we talk ourselves into this? Because now in the past like 10 minutes, I've also started to feel the same way. Is it because we're getting closer?
Yeah. Well, and I think there's just a honest to goodness. So am I excited to find out who the Cavs are? Yes, but I'm not guaranteed to win.
And so there's that reality of, I want to find out. This is a great test of who are you? What are you made of, right? How, can you overcome something? Because I think one of the things I tried to point out after game two was, guys, like, this could end up being a challenge that can catapult you. If you can overcome this, this is a real confidence builder if you're the Cavs. If you win tonight and then you take game two game two in Indy, and all of a sudden you're tied at twos and you overcome this and come back, even if you're not 100%, you can't tell me you don't have the gumption or the stones to go into any building in America and take them out.
Yeah, the weird thing about the Pacers is that they've been so good at home. And so I know going into the series, a lot of Pacers fans and pundits around Indianapolis were like, can they just get one at the Rocket Arena? And if they can get one, they felt so confident of the Pacers at home. It'd be interesting because in a series where nothing has gone ordinary or how it's supposed to go, if this is where the Cavs get everything turned around, in a spot where Indy has to feel about as confident as they can right now.
216-474-0092. I want to hear from you guys. Where are you guys? We did have the line there from Dan Favalli. He thinks this is destined to go the distance. I think that's a safe bet if the Cavs get back into it. But I can't put out them winning the next four games. But ready for the great analysis here?
Yeah, let me hit me with that analysis.
But you got to win tonight for
that's
that
right.
to happen.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, that's
analysis.
That's what we're calling big bucks. Let's go with Henry in Akron. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Like I said, I do have faith the Cavs can do it, man. I'm just saying, if we don't get it tonight, you know the series is over.
Yeah, I mean, coming back from 3-0 has never happened in NBA history. The odd part about it, I mean, you're right. I'm not going to try to dispute it. But if there ever was a team that, as we just mentioned, could win four in a row and could actually erase a 3-0 deficit, with health getting back, Henry, it would be this Cavs team.
That's right. That's why I have faith in them. As long as we got all three, we can do it. Go Cavs.
All right? I agree. Go Cavs.
Yeah. I agree. Go Cavs. Thank you, Henry.
Henry's feeling it.
So I took that. Was he saying even if we lose tonight, but we get L3 back?
No. I think I just talked him into being positive.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think he was going doomsday, and I think I just talked him into being positive.
That's good. Listen, maybe Henry just needed a little talk off the ledge, and now we're good to go.
It's funny how quickly sometimes people change off of that, right? Like, I think he called in with the intention of being concerned, and then within, like, I don't know, 10 words, we're able to be – now he's I agree, go Cavs. I did see, by the way, a quote from Halliburton talking about matching the Cavs' desperation with their own. And I thought that was really an interesting perspective from Halliburton. Like, he senses that the Cavs are desperate. He knows that the Cavs are obviously in a bad spot. And he's like, we got to match that. And it's just a weird way to put that.
That's what I would consider forcing it.
I think so. Yeah. I think, yeah, now it might play into our hands if he's that far inside his own head for this game. And he should be. There's a lot riding on this with Halliburton in particular. Last year, there were so many people that just made up the idea, and they weren't wrong, that it was just a cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals. If you can go back-to-back seasons, nobody else complains about that. Then.
What I do need to see tonight is if we get a Cavalanche and the Cavs run away with this, I need the marble celly. I need the marble celly on the Pacers floor.
Okay, so I was going to save this for in case we missed it, but I guess we can do it now because it fits appropriately. Halliburton was warned about that celly, the Josh Naylor rocking the baby.
Oh, I thought he was doing the marbles.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly what that is.
Rocking the baby is not rocking the marbles.
We know what Josh Naylor was doing there.
I believe he was rocking the baby.
And that man was not rocking any baby.
If they're up here, we got real
that
problems.
That man was
okay?
not rocking a baby.
It was called rocking the baby.
Yeah,
it
we called it that to be courteous. That man was not rocking the baby.
All right, we have to put our crack research team here of crack Mac.
Garrett
as we
Cole
call him.
Didn't take it as him rocking the baby. I'll tell you that much.
Well, Garrett Cole is not a smart man. I mean, he's just a side of Forrest Gump. Like, he's gifted in baseball and very little else.
So Halliburton after was like, I know I'm getting fined for this. And the NBA just warned him. They didn't fine him at all. They just warned him.
Now, is this like in baseball where if one bench gets warned and then the other side throws at him,
I think it
gets thrown
out? The celly off the table for the rest of the series. Yes.
Absolutely not. No.
I think it does. That's what this does.
I need the marbles. All right. I need the Serrano tonight.
LeBron's been fined for it. Julius Randle's been fined for it.
Do they know it's in a movie?
Has been fined for it. Like, we have so many instances of NBA players doing this and being fined for it. And then Halliburton only got the warning, which means if he hits it with you again, the NBA had to have seen this coming And I can't imagine what that fine would be.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's almost like the NBA's egging him on to do it.
No, I'm the opposite. I want Donovan to hit it. And I've seen the skim's
ass. He's going
to
get fined into oblivion. And then I'm going to get mad that Halliburton gets a warning and Donovan only gets gets an actual fine.
Mac, research assistant Mac, do we have any confirmation on this? Words are hard.
Yeah, the nailer celebration was a lot closer towards the chest, so I would say that's more of rocking a baby compared to
what Halliburton did. He did it all series long. That man was not rocking any baby. We gave him the benefit of the doubt. We know what he was doing. It was a debatable talk when it actually happened, too. It was like, what exactly is he doing? Is he rocking the baby? What exactly is he doing?
It was definitely a lot closer to the chest compared to what Halliburton had done.
Maybe it was cold.
Well, Halliburton went down to the ground. I mean, Halliburton was...
I mean, if you're carrying your baby like that, then that's a serious problem.
I don't think that's a baby.
No, Halliburton wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
What he was doing.
Yeah. That's what I want.
From Donovan?
Well, that's a very suggestive way of saying that, but I want that celebration today.
Okay.
We saw the Skims ad. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Dolly in Cleveland. Welcome to the show, Dolly.
Hi. Hello, Dolly.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm not watching the game today because if they win, then they'll rope me back in. If they don't win, then I'm okay. They didn't get me again. After I am so upset with Garland that I don't even want to see him, because the more I look at ballerinas who their feet and get out there and dance, and he couldn't play basketball, come on.
That way, you got a good point with the ballerinas.
Yeah, they're tough.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman.
Maybe
Mila
that
Kunis.
Explains LeBron's toes. Maybe he was a ballerina.
Their toes are disgusting by the time they're like 16 because they've just lived on their toes the entire time.
They're on a no-fly list for Tarantino by the time they're 16.
Brain toes, tore up toes. They wrap them up and they get out there and they dance the whole show. But he can't go out and not even, he doesn't even put his uniform on. Just sits on the side in civilian clothes.
In fairness, Dolly, if he was inactive and wore his uniform, he would look like a nerd.
Well, he better play tonight. That's all I got to say is he better play tonight. I won't know until tomorrow, but he better play tonight.
All right, Dolly. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you very much. Guys hurt.
I mean, those ballerinas are tough, though.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Darius was a ballerina and was in that universe, I think he's too hurt to ballet. I almost said ballerina.
It's a ballet. Black Swan was a great movie. That's where I learned the respect for ballerinas.
Yeah?
Yeah, that one right there. Yeah. And there's a scene in that movie that you remember at that age. You know which one I'm talking about?
I think you know I know.
Oh, I know you know. I know you know.
It's the one where there's the swan.
Unbelievable.
Bert in Manor. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
It's time to let them know, right? You know, I mean, it's not over till it's over. I hate being that fan, but, you know, Boston's down 0-2. We're 0-2. I do believe it's going 7. It gets down to a couple simple things to me. I mean, if we get the guys back, great. If we don't, it is what it is. But the guys like Wade, Jerome, you know, it shocked me the other night when Strus just got loose. I couldn't believe how well he played. If he was consistent like that and we get a few shots made from the guys that make – you got to make your shots. If they make their shots, they win this game. I mean, I can see that happening, but, you know, you can't put it all on Donovan, and everybody wants to call him the ball hog, but what was that guy supposed to do? You know, I don't – Donovan, in my opinion, is the MVP of the league. We're the best damn team in the league, and I think it's going 7.
Let him know there, Bert. We appreciate you, buddy.
Bert with also incredible hashtag analysis with the got to make those shots.
I will say, if you make your shots and you grab your rebounds and you get your assists and you get your steals and your blocks, hit your free throws.
Yeah.
Make your passes. I'm very confident the Cavs are going to win today.
Analysis. It's a good recipe right there.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people won't say that. Like, they won't
go out on a limb and say
that. You know, they'll find some other way to talk about this. But, like, and you know what else? Defense. Play it. You know? I mean, what are we doing here?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to play.
Nailed it.
Nick, fantastic job.
Yeah. The arms out. All right.
Kind of like you doing the swan. maneuver 2 minutes ago?
Did I do a swan maneuver?
Oh, yeah, you did. You're like, oh, yeah, the scene with the swan. And then you did like this swan move.
Well, I remember Matt,
tell
that
the
scene.
People the swan move.
I did see a bit of a swan move over there.
Okay, you did. I'm not just making it up.
Listen, I got aura points. Like the kids would say, I've got the riz, and it just happens.
I just liked you thinking, for a moment, I thought you morphed into a swan.
But that's what they used to call me, Big Swan, in college. Nice try, fatty.
That's what they called it.
That hurt. Ryan in North Carolina, what you got for us, buddy?
That's standing.
Okay, nothing. Sorry, your phone was cutting up there. That felt really personal. Nothing. And then I swanned
just
again.
Disgusted. Well, it's really hard to give analysis after we mocked the last guys for his analysis. It's like,
I just like the Cavs. I just really like the Cavs. Go Cavs, please. No, Ryan was having some phone issues there, Ryan. If we didn't cut you off for any, or I sounded very grumpy when I did it. I didn't. I just was frustrated with the phones. 216-474-0092. All right, vibe check. Where are you guys at with the game tonight? I think if they hit their shots and they play defense and they grab some rebounds, offensive and defensive,
both sides.
Maybe get it, poke the ball out. Here's a steal. 50-50 balls. I mean, you got to get them.
Analysis.
And poor form by JP. We'll see in about 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Rookie mini camp going on in Berea today throughout the weekend, and maybe we'll have a little bit more, but maybe not. Afternoon Drive will definitely have you covered on some of the things that are being said out in Berea by the rookies tomorrow. We're expecting the quarterbacks to talk, so I'm sure we'll have some stuff tomorrow on that. If not, Daryl will have that for you on Sunday morning. Make sure you listen to his show. Going back to the Cavaliers tonight, and like I'm struggling with some things, but I do feel better, like I've said, about tonight's game than I did about game two. And then you made a really interesting point. I'm just wondering if you truly believe it. So make your point, and then I'm going to ask you if you really
believe
it.
Calling me a liar, Baskin?
No, I'm not calling. You haven't said
Dad,
anything yet.
He's calling me a liar.
Is he like Dad? Are you like a kid?
He's calling me a liar from what I said in the break.
Dad, Andy said something about me. I don't know. You tell him he's wrong.
Oh, yeah, because I've always been nothing but an authoritative figure.
That is true.
It's a valid point.
Yes. All right, make your statement, because I think it's a bold one.
You win tonight, you negate completely, almost completely, what happened in games one and two. Losing the first two games at home, you come back and win tonight and make it, you're down 2-1. It negates what happened in games one and two. And why? Because teams often split the first two games of a playoff series. You know, road team might sneak in and win a game. And, okay, so you go and you win one. Win one on the road if you're the Cavs and you're down 2-1. That's a new series, Andy. It's a new series. At that point, you don't – I mean, this team won 12-plus games, what, three times during the regular season. They can reel off wins like nobody's business. And if they win tonight, I think it puts them in a really good spot because it takes a little momentum away from Indiana. It puts a little heat on Indiana for the first time in this series. In game four, there'd be heat on the Pacers. I mean, real heat. And the Cavs would be playing free and easy. And even if the Cavs lost to game four after winning game three, okay, two of the next three are in our house. All we got to do is go win one more road game and protect home court, and we can do this. That's why tonight's a big deal. You can take the miserable outcomes of game one and two. And I'm just going to say outcome because bottom line, doesn't matter how well you played for most of game two, you lost. Take those miserable outcomes, erase them with a win tonight. You can do it. Still uphill from there.
Better to do it tonight, though, than game four.
Oh, like, you lose tonight,
but
you're toast.
No, but you just said, listen to what you said, though, about if you're down 3-1, right? So generically, you're saying if you're down 3-1 and you can push it back to Cleveland, it's okay.
No,
we've seen teams come back from 3-1.
No, and it goes back to what I said earlier in the show. An NBA playoff series is a weird beast. And there's
a huge difference between winning game three and winning game four.
Without question. And there's a strange flow to it. There's a real strange flow to an NBA playoff series. I mean, that's why I That's why I was convinced the Cavs were going to play really well in game two, and I thought they'd win. I thought they would win it because I know how those things go. And they had it until 1.1 seconds left.
Right.
And that's why I think tonight Indiana's going to come out and just say, here we go, fellas. Let's take care of these guys now. Let's do it now. And I think the Cavs are going to be hard-pressed to beat them. But if they can, all of a sudden it's a little different playoff series. And
but it has to be game three. That's what you're saying.
There's no pressure on Indiana if the Pacers win tonight. There will be no pressure in game four. There will be no pressure in game five. There will be minimal pressure in game six. You get to game seven, now that's a big deal.
I can't fathom the difference between being down 3-1 either way. Like, if you win tonight...
It's the flow of these things, Andy.
But if they win tonight, now you're down 2-1, everybody feels good, right? Everybody, hop in on this conversation, please. Will you? 216-474-0092. So saying that, and I'm just kind of recapping what you just laid out. The general philosophy is win tonight and you have erased games one and two.
No. You've erased the negative impact of both. You still lost both of those games.
Okay.
It's just the way these things flow. You know, you're down 3-0. You're not going to win four straight. I mean, it's never been done before. I don't think the Cavs would be the first team to do it if they happen to lose tonight. But if they happen to win tonight, okay, a little different feel here. You got it back together a little bit. So I think a victory tonight
changes everything.
It a significant change in the tone. It doesn't change everything. I mean, you could still be down 3-1 coming back home, but that's okay. All they'd have to do is win one road game if they're down 3-1.
And again, you're looking to be the sixth team in NBA history to drop the first two. Like, first of all, you've got to forget about that stat. That stat's got to get flushed.
Buried?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't think about that at all. The other good news is, again, you know, the talk is the three guys that are hurt are back tonight. So now you've got a full boat. You've got everybody available to play. And I don't know, you can't walk into it saying must win, even though it is. You just got to go out there and take it. I'm not trying to be trite. One quarter at a time. I hate to say it, especially that fourth quarter, because you know what just happened to you in the last fourth quarter that you just played. You were there. You just ran out of gas at the end, even though Chris Fedor said, hey, I'm not buying this ran out of gas stuff. But Jeff laid out a great argument about actual game time minutes and who's running, you know, 38 plus minutes a night when you're playing in the regular season. They just didn't do it very often this year because they thought they had a strong bench, and they did, and they do. But you need to have your bench together. You need to have Ty Jerome and Dean Wade, you know, back, I think, on the bench to start these things. And if you can get your other guys back, you get the three guys healthy tonight, boom, now you are back in this. There is a reality to some of the things that Jeff is saying. I also question how good these guys are going to be able to play based on the fact that they are not healthy. We know they're not. You know as well as I do, if this is a regular season game, Hunter's not playing. Mobley's not playing. Garland's not playing.
I agree with you.
There's just no way. But it is the playoffs, and this is what you asked for, too. How many people sat around for the last couple of days and said, well, why aren't these guys playing? It's the playoffs. I don't care. Okay, if I'm bleeding out, put me on the floor, man. I'm going to go out and win this for my team. Okay. And I thought Fedor made a great point saying these guys don't wake up in the morning saying they want to lose a playoff game, especially knowing how hard they work throughout the season.
And I want to sit while I watch my guys lose.
Yeah, I want to be on the sidelines so I can say, well, if I was
I'm good.
If I was out there, they could win. Nicole is in Cleveland. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I think if they get the win tonight, it doesn't erase what happened in games one and two, but I think it just gets them their confidence back. I think you could see that they've been rattled a little bit after these last few games, and especially after such a heartbreaking loss that happened the other day. Like, I've never felt, as a fan, a loss like that before watching the Cavs, but I think they just need to get their confidence back. They're a confident team. They have been all season, but they just don't look the same to me.
How much of a difference having these three guys back tonight does it make? Does it boost your confidence?
It does, just because they can get back maybe some semblance of a like their normal rotations that they were working with through the season. But, I mean, just having somebody who can handle the ball like Darius Garland is going to be huge, because Ty Jerome just hasn't – he's looked like a shell of himself. I don't know what it is. It must just be the lack of experience in playoff basketball in the NBA for him, but, like, I don't know. DG just needs to have the ball in his hands. He's a facilitator, and he can make big shots when you need him to. He's got that clutch gene in him, and I think just having him back on the court will give – Donovan a little bit of extra breathing room too, because he was just gassed at the end of that game.
I couldn't have done anything more.
Yep. Nicole, it sounds like you played college ball.
No, I didn't. I'm only 5'3", but in my dreams.
Ah,
there's always a place.
You know
for
what you're talking about.
Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
have a
Nicole.
Good weekend.
All right.
Question for you guys.
Yeah.
How long is your Ty Jerome leash tonight?
Not very.
It doesn't have to be very long because you've got these other guys back.
Except Ty, in theory, should be back in his normal role that he excelled at this year. And look, I am never going to bash what Ty Jerome did this year. He was incredible. What Ty had was one really bad game, and one game where he maybe shot too much. He wasn't great in game one, but he wasn't bad. He was not good in game two. He was bad in game two. And that said, there's no way the Cavs win 64 games without him this year.
No.
They might not even win 56, 57 games without
maybe
him.
Maybe it's just a bad matchup for him.
Or maybe he just didn't shoot very well.
Well, he said that too. He said, I make some of these shots that he missed 9 out of 10 times. He also said, you know, they did enough to win that second game, but they have to do better. He said a couple other things too, that you know, the inbounds turnover at the end of the game was just a miscommunication. You can't have a miscommunication at the end of a game, a playoff game, where you have a chance to tie things up at 1-1. You just can't do that. You don't have the option for a miscommunication in a game where you know you're up against a peer that is better than you and was better than you in game one and had the opportunity to win. These two teams are too similar in their ability to be able to win games and be able to score and score at will. So I just you cannot afford at all to be in that situation. Robert's in Parma. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Jeff, I was listening to what you were saying about winning game three versus winning game four and being down 3-1 either way. And I think it makes absolutely no sense, except for one thing. You're right. You can't go down 3-0 and expect to win the series. You can go down 3-1 and still come back. You got to win tonight. A lot more important than winning in game four.
I think that's exactly right, Robert.
I get what you're saying. I'm with you 100%.
Robert, thank you. Appreciate it, Robert. Slater's in Valley View. Hi, Slater.
And it doesn't make any sense numerically. It's just the way that these things flow.
Slater.
Well, I think if you win tonight, it's at least a counterpunch before you get too bloody, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're down 3-0 and then you win one game, I think the team that's up 3-1, I mean, they're just going to come out and play harder just to get over that hump. But if you can, you know, get that counterpunch in tonight, that it does sound confusing, but I can see where Jeff's coming from with the win tonight. No matter how they go down 3-1, you have to win tonight if you happen to go down 3-1. I don't know. It's like
it makes sense.
It's making a birdie after two bogeys. You know, I got to go with the golf reference. You know.
I like
fair it. Enough. Thanks, Slater, Valley City. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Is Jeff right? If they win tonight, does it, what's the word you use? Negate?
It negates a big chunk of what happened in games one and two and puts you on a little different path. Andy, if you're down 3-0, Indy doesn't feel any pressure at all for the next two games.
That plus the fact the Cavaliers get all three players. It looks like the Cavs are going to get all three players back that were injured for game two. We'll talk more about that. When we come back, 216-474-0092.
To talk all things NBA playoffs, including Cavs, Pacers, Game 3, we head out to the North Olmsted, Chrysler, Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, you know him. As lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com, covering the NBA there. Kurt Heelan joins us now. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I was trying to think of the appropriately risque thing to say when I came in, but it just, I couldn't, nothing came to mind. Sorry.
So usually the thing that happens is if somebody says something risque to me, then I get myself in trouble. So we appreciate you keeping it on the up and up here.
Yeah, Nick's got a universal pass when it comes to risque things.
Ooh, until I don't.
He does. Yeah. He has for a very long time, Kurt. Very, very long time. I say
my wife did not give me one of those. So congratulations.
Yeah. It's truly astonishing to watch it. It work in person, and then I say the same thing, and that'll be an HR meeting, Kurt.
It's quite problematic, Kurt.
There's, you know what the perks of working remotely are? It's really hard to get in those meetings. So.
That's true. I was going to make a Tubin comment. Come on, here we are.
Kurt, they're still having the meetings. You're just not accessing them.
Exactly. They're happening behind my back now.
Kurt, if some iteration of Darius, DeAndre, and Evan can play tonight, how does it impact your expectations for Game 3?
Darius in particular hopefully can go. Look, they need the depth. I think we saw last game, as much as Donovan Mitchell can carry that load for a while, he wore down. This is playoff basketball. He's going into the teeth of a team that plays better defense than they get credit for. You can't just ask one person to do it, and you're going to need, ideally, like I said, Darius back just for the handling of the, you know, ball pressure that Indiana has been putting on. I think Cleveland's the better team. You've been the better team all season. You're better balanced, and if you can just get back to that and play your game, you're not out of this, right? Like, I haven't looked at the odds lately, but, like, I don't think it's a situation where you're like, man, Cleveland has no chance here. You've got to get healthy and get back to being who you were for the first 82.
Yeah, I can tell you the odds for tonight, at least, you know, 5-point favorites right now, according to our friends in the desert. Now, they're playing with the assumption that the three players we discussed will be on the court, but that's a lot of belief in a Cavs team that, let's be honest, Kurt, they should earn that benefit of the doubt after winning 64 games in the regular season.
They should, but look, man, they should also be out there tonight with a insane level of desperation. This is too good a team to go down 0-3. And nobody's come back from 0-3 in NBA history anyway, but this is really just too good a team. You can't go down that far. It's the same with Boston. You have to come out with a real sense of desperation. This is must win as it gets. And that means getting everybody on board and playing as much as they can. And somebody's going to have to step up. Some guys are going to have to step up who might not normally be relied on in that way.
Kurt, I want you to finish this sentence here. The Cavs will come back in this series and win it if
Darius Garland's healthy and can get back to being himself. I still think, like, his importance has really stood out in this, in terms of just being a second shot creator and somebody who can hit the three consistently, who you have to respect out at that arc and then give you some spacing that isn't always there when he's not there. So I still think he is the key to making this work, especially against it's a really good team over there with a good guard tandem.
When I ask you about Donovan Mitchell, we've talked extensively about his just unending desire to win. I mean, he's playing through an injury himself, and he put the team on his basically on his shoulders last game. Is there anything that he should be doing differently for Game 3, or do you feel like that should be the same type of approach where he's going to have to be kind of like what he was in those playoff series in Utah, where he is, instead of what he's been this season, a distributor and passing the ball and sharing, just a complete enforcer in scoring?
This is why you have to have a Donovan Mitchell on the team, and that person has to be able to step up. You have to have somebody who can fill that role, because when you get to this point in the playoffs, when you get to the final eight, everybody's good. Nobody has kind of snuck in, backdoored themselves into this. Everybody can play, and you've got to have a guy on your team who can just go get a bucket when you need it. And frankly, you'd need a second guy who can kind of do that too, ideally, but you need at least one, or things can bog down. And I don't think this is why you have Donovan Mitchell. This is why he exists. As much as he took and deserves all the credit for, you know, taking a step back this year, I imagine he'll end up fifth in the MVP voting and all NBA and all that. And he deserves all the credit he's getting. he's got to be the guy who can also step up and be that guy tonight. He is going to have a big night on top of getting a little more help.
Kurt, if you gave Adam Silver the choice right now, do you think he would take what everybody thought was the preordained Eastern Conference Finals from here, so Cavs Celtics, or do you think he would be? Do you think it benefits the NBA more to have the Knicks and Pacers end up finishing off the 1 and 2 seeds going into the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's a good question. The Knicks bring a, honestly, in terms of like marketing, Knicks or Celtics, I don't know that they're, I think they'd be happy either way. You're getting a massive market and a massive worldwide fan base and all that in both cases. So I don't know that they care too much there. I think they'd be more into Cleveland than Indiana as an option, just because not only has this team been good and has a very not that Tyrese Halliburton isn't a marketable star, but Donovan Mitchell's got a little more length of name recognition just because of everything he did in Utah and how long he's been in the league. Plus, it's a fan base with a championship. It's a fan base with a history that's a little richer in recent years than Indiana's.
Let me ask you about whether or not this is just a little bit of a different postseason and why you think that is. Because throughout NBA history, teams that go up 2-0 on the road have a 38-5 series record. But it feels like we can just kind of throw that out when we've seen road teams win all four game ones. We've seen the Celtics be the first team in the play-by-play era to blow multiple 20-point leads in the same postseason. Cavs themselves also blew a 20-point lead in game two. It feels like a 20-point lead is now like a 12-point lead, Kurt.
Yeah, but it's been that way recently, I mean, in the regular season as well, where 20-point lead used to be unassailable virtually, and it's not anymore, and that's just the variance you get with the 3-point shot. You can catch up a lot more quickly if you get hot from there, or you can fall back if you're just not hitting them a lot, Boston. So it just adds a lot more variance to it. I think you do it, but it does also pave the way for comebacks, and that's certainly true in Cleveland. Frankly, I mean, Boston feels like the obvious answer there. Like, if they've been shooting 25% on 100 three-pointers through two games, if, like, that becomes 35%, this is a very different series over there. And it's the same with Cleveland. If they can consistently get them to fall, if they can get a few clutch threes, this looks very different.
Kurt, how convinced are you that the Knicks actually can finish off the Celtics, the defending champs?
Pretty convinced. What I find weird about Boston in the series is less, they went cold for a couple games from three. Guys, it's the unwillingness to adjust that's just kind of like mind-blowing, right? Like, the threes aren't going. If Cleveland's threes aren't going, Kenny Atkinson is telling Donovan Mitchell and everybody else, go get to the basket. Go get some buckets inside. Let's get this down to Jared Allen a few times. He had a great game too. Let's get some buckets inside and get the lid off this thing and start our comeback that way. They didn't really, outside of Jaylen Brown in the first game, they didn't really do that. They rely on those threes so much, and it's that end of game offense from them is just so predictable that I think the Knicks have a chance. Like, they genuinely believe in it now. If they just get a split at home and they're up 3-1, I'm just not sure these Celtics are going to win three straight and bounce back.
So how would you see the both series now at this point? Because I still tend to believe, and Vegas very much doubts what I'm about to tell you, but I still believe that what we saw going into the series will prevail. I think the Celtics still win that series. I think the Cavs still win their series. Do you see it that way?
I think the Cavs have a really good chance. They've got to do it tonight, but and health obviously plays into this. But I think they've got a genuine chance here to come back. And that said, I'm not sure I'd put it much above 50-50, 55-60. Like, that's still a good Indiana team who now has a 2-0 advantage. Like, you've got to win 4 or 5. That's tough to do against anybody in the NBA. It's not impossible, but it's not easy. Boston, again, because of the shooting, it feels like that should flip more easily. Like, man, they're just, they're going to have a good game, but the Knicks believe in themselves now. That is, don't they have a little bit of that Team of Destiny thing going on? It feels like they believe it, and if they believe it and they're going home, as much as that is a series that could absolutely flip around, I'm just not sure I believe it personally right now, that I've kind of lost faith in that team.
Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The NBA draft lottery is in 3 days. Plenty of teams vying for the right to take Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey. Which franchise needs to win the lottery the most?
Needs to win is, you know, it's funny. I was just writing this up. I'm going to have a thing up on the best landing spots for Cooper Flagg. And, you know, there's the obvious ones, like Houston has an outside chance. And if he landed in San Antonio, can you imagine? But put him next to Wemby and De'Aaron Fox. But the of the three really horrid teams of Utah and Washington and Charlotte, I would like him to land in Utah. Because while they were terrible this year, they actually have a very committed owner. They have management from Danny Ainge, somebody who's built championship teams before and knows how to do this. And they have Will Hardy, a coach that, yeah, he didn't win a lot of games this year. He just got an extension from Utah, and that's not because the owner really likes him, although the owner likes him. That's because other teams were still sniffing around his player development, including a certain one that hired in-house recently. when they switched out coaches. There's a lot of interest in Will Hardy. That is, I think, an organization set up to do well long-term. So I'd rather see Cooper Flagg land there than organizations I don't trust in Washington and Charlotte.
Kurt, something that's kind of popped up over this, it's been around for a little bit now, but it's popped up over this playoffs. The two-minute report, why does the NBA do it still? Is it just transparency? I get that, but it just makes fans angry all over again.
Adam Silver wants them to for transparency reasons, but I don't see the point of it much anymore. I mean, you could release stuff the next day that said, yeah, we messed up on call X if you really wanted to. And in certain situations, the referees are pretty good about, hey, excuse me, the referees are pretty good about like reviewing the play after and like, man, we absolutely should have called a foul, you know, on play X. And the Knicks got that recently. But I don't know why they do, because you're right. All it does is the next day, it barely gets mentioned, and it just stirs up the fan base again. I don't see, if you're not changing anything, if you're like, hey, we screwed up, you still lose. Like, I don't know what you get out of that.
So we agree. They should have just reversed the decision, taken 2 points off the board, and given the Cavs a win. I agree, Kurt.
You'd like them to get it right in real time, wouldn't you? You'd like to see that, but you know, you try to eliminate the screw ups as best you can. But at some point, you just kind of live with human error. I don't know. I'm old school that way. But I'm like, I just kind of live with human error on some of this stuff. And that's the way it is. I'm curious what they're going to do. You guys know they're working with Hawkeye, which is the people who run some of their second spectrum, not second spectrum anymore, but like the technology, the player tracking technology.
Yeah, it's in tennis as well, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to start using them hopefully in the next year or two for out-of-bounds stuff, where the Hawkeye can just go call in and go, no, that went off of player X. It's a little more complicated than tennis because hands and arms are moving as opposed to those lines, which really don't. But they're looking into it. That's where they would like to go with this. So some of it can at least go out of the hands of officials, or somebody can buzz down and go, no, you got that wrong. That bounced off of X.
Kurt, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy this weekend. Enjoy Cavs Pacers game 3.
I'm looking forward to it. What's the mood there?
Oh, we're pretty excited. Yeah, a little bit of it, just because they're down 2-0, a little bit of anxiety. But I think I said 9 out of 10 confidence if at least one of three of the guys play. JP went 11 out of 10 with an asterisk.
Well, the asterisk being if Garland gets out there and then just, you know, has to remove himself after 5 minutes.
Yeah, if Garland in particular, I think, means a lot. But even if you can get Mobley, just given that second creator on the half court, man, that would help a lot. Because like you said, this is a team that you led by 20. You had that game. It's just everybody wore down. So,
Kurt, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Take care, man.
Thank you so much. Kurt Heelan there, NBC Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We will react to what he had to say about your Cleveland Cavaliers and their chances here in Game 3, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Kenny Atkinson yesterday as we get ready for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Semis between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Indiana Pacers tonight, 7:30. Have you lost any confidence in Kenny?
No. I actually have not, but I'm also not somebody, you got to remember, I'm not somebody who acted like he invented basketball because he drew up some nice plays and managed minutes in a regular season. I thought that was a little extreme. I did think he was a much needed.
They won a lot of games.
Yeah, I don't like the term. We say upgraded over J.B. Bickerstaff as if Bickerstaff was a total bum. And whoever was replacing him, like Bickerstaff's clearly doing a good job did a good job. The season's over. Did a good job in Detroit. And Atkinson has done a great job this year. But I did warn everybody the playoffs are going to be different. And I wasn't trying to like condescend or talk down, but it's like the playoffs are not about X's and O's. Kenny drew up some great plays. But as anybody has seen in the playoffs, especially like the game sevens, the plays go right out the window. It's do your best to get a shot off. That's the big difference because they call the games differently. You're allowed to grab and hold guys off the ball. You just can't do that in the regular season. So they're two totally different sports. And Kenny Atkinson, I did think the managing of Donovan Mitchell's minutes were going to help him. And clearly, he's right back to where he was last year, which was trying to carry a team as far as he can and being totally exhausted doing it.
Part of that is because of the injuries this year. Folks, don't miss a minute of the Fan during your workday. Stream us 92.3thefan.com on your phone with the free Odyssey app. We got Andrew Berry who joins us 9:15 this morning. We'll talk Browns with him, obviously. He's the Browns general manager, for crying out loud. So I agree with you. One game doesn't change my entire opinion of a coach, for crying out loud. If I'm willing to not budge for Kevin Stefanski for so long, I'm not going to budge for Kenny Atkinson. I think Kenny Atkinson's done a fine job. I was disappointed in game two when you give up a 20-point lead. The coach has to wear that. He is wearing that. I commend him for taking a lot of responsibility there. He's the head coach. I think that's part of his job. But I like Kenny Atkinson a whole lot. And I think that he's still I believe he's a good basketball coach, and I think that he'll learn from game two. But what can you learn from game two, really, when you still got guys who are injured? Now, they tried to move around yesterday during shoot-around. Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, who's dealing with a thumb, and then Darius Garland, where Kenny Atkinson later on had said that Darius Garland is trying, but he still can't move too quickly.
You've been conditioned like crazy, Walter G and the non-impact stuff, but obviously couldn't run or anything.
Do you think that we're going to see Darius Garland tonight?
Man, I have no idea at this point.
I want him to do it so people get off his back.
Well, I said, this would not be great for the Cavs, but just for Darius to get guys like Stephen A. off his back, to go out there and look like OG Anunoby last year in that game seven, where he came out and had no business being on the basketball floor, ran up and down the court for 3 minutes, and everybody's like, this is malpractice. Get him out of the game. This is sad.
I don't think it's a... in all honesty, I don't think it's a real reason to put him out there.
Right, but that would get people off his back.
But it would definitely get people off his back.
People would feel probably silly. Well, they'd probably be like, I guess my opinion was based on nothing.
We'd probably get a bunch of idiots who are calling in saying that he's embellishing it or something like that. I think there's people, they don't like Darius Garland, and they're just never going to like Darius Garland.
The same vein, if he went out there tonight and dropped 40, that's kind of not a great look either.
I totally disagree.
If you're able to score 40 tonight, it's like, dude, we needed you in game two, and now our season.
Wait a minute, did they win?
Yeah.
Then I don't care about game two.
Oh, I think people would be like, he clearly could have played in game two if he went out there and looked great tonight.
No, I think if he went out there and he scored 40 points tonight, I think this is one of the all-time inspiring performances I've ever seen. And I would be dying to be on the radio on Saturday morning.
If he looks 100% healthy?
Yes. If he's 100% healthy,
yeah.
I imagine
I think people
would
be like, dude, you could have played.
No, I totally disagree.
You think people are going to...
No, I'm sorry.
Are not going to call in with that opinion?
They will. You are right. And I will knock them down every single chance I get. Because if he goes out there and he looks like he's 100%, I'm going to assume that he has been shot up with every drug known to man make him feel as good as he possibly can to go out there and play at a high level.
But I thought that was going to happen. I did honestly think that was going to happen last game. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're gonna shoot him up. He's got so much cortisone. He's gonna go out there and he'll be feeling the effects of it afterwards, you know, as all that stuff wears down. That's the problem is that we are having so many of these discussions and we don't know. None of us know. We're all speculating. Even the people close to the team are speculating because the team has put out that he's been questionable like crazy.
So, well, I was going to ask if you're still confident in the Cavs. Now I kind of want to ask a different question here about Darius Garland, which it always comes back to Darius Garland.
But you know what I mean? We don't know. I mean, the people covering the team that are closest even don't know. Chris Fedor covers the team as close as anybody. He was on Afternoon Drive yesterday saying he's hurt. He's hurt. There's a problem. He re-aggravated the injury.
Give me Fedor 03, by the way. Give me Fedor 03, and we'll play that for everybody. We played it at the beginning of the show. I want to play that for everybody at the show right now on the show because that plays into it as well. I don't want to turn this into you making the argument. You're not making the argument that people wouldn't. I'm telling you, if Darius Garland goes out there and plays tonight and plays significant minutes and were to give us an amount of points that we win, I'm going to be wishing he did it on a weekday because I would want to come in tomorrow and extol the virtues of Darius Garland. I think it's been ridiculous. I think he's still a professional basketball player that has. If you're not wanting to be out there while Donovan Mitchell is falling all over the place like he's Jeff Hardy, trying to put balls in the bucket, trying to keep this team, to get this team to will this team to 1-1, if he does not take that seriously to some level, then I would be sick to my stomach to find out something like that. I don't think that's the case. I think he desperately wants to be out there. And if he were to find himself out there and he were to do well, it's one of the all-time great performances that we've seen in Cleveland sports. That's what that should be. It should be one of the all-time inspiring moments in our city's professional sports history. So if anybody were to call in with that opinion, I don't know what would happen because they still have a game on Sunday. So who the hell knows what we're going to be talking about on Monday. But if somebody were to call in with that opinion, I would flatly deny it and go after him because that would be ridiculous. Now, I know that he's been maligned by a lot of us. I know he's been maligned by the fan base and by a lot of the media out there. But damn it, you take a look at the way that this is and with the way things are. And if he were to go out there and were to provide us with anything, I would salute him. Here's the Fedor from yesterday afternoon on Afternoon Drive. Hit it.
The listing of these guys is questionable. I understand is playing into this whole conversation, and the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
Here's one where I won't get all vulgar and obnoxious with fans. 216-474-0092. So there's your reasoning with the injury. Are you still confident in the Cavs?
So I thought a lot about this.
My confidence with everybody else, I mean, it's shaking. I don't know what type of team we're going to see tonight after they gave up a 20-point lead and lost like that.
Anybody that tells you they're really, really confident is just flat-out lying. They're doing Homer radio, which I'd love to do right now. I would love to do to get people pumped up because they're not eliminated. The season is still there. You're looking at what's happening on the other half of the bracket, like the Knicks. I mean, when we had healthy Darius Garland and the Knicks were trying to win in Madison Square Garden, it seems like 2 years ago, but it was, you know, like 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, and we kicked their ass. And Darius Garland looked like a Harlem Globetrotter, and they had no answers. So, look, I think that it obviously the odds are against you now. Even though Vegas doesn't have you as a huge underdog in the series, they still think you have a chance to win. They have not shot the ball well. Remember, they were the best shooting team in the NBA this year. And through the first two games of this series, they're not just a little below what they had done all year. They don't even look like the same team. The shooting percentage from three-point range is like 25%. Had they have shot even 30% in this series, they'd be up 2-0. That is a fact. So despite the fact that they're shooting terribly, their worst of the year, despite the fact that they're without, you know, two starters and somebody else who could start on a lot of teams in DeAndre Hunter, they very easily could have won the last game. They were up 20. They should have. It was an all-time collapse. It was one that, you know, people are going to be talking about for years. Halliburton and that push shot from the top of the key to win the game, it's still etched in my brain. Like, they needed all those heroics to beat you or the series would be 1-1 and we'd be feeling very differently. So clearly, It's not like this is some juggernaut team we can't beat, even shorthanded.
When Tom Petty died, I had to go.
You were shaken by that one.
I was working here. I went upstairs to my office. It was one of the ones I had to. I had to recuse myself because I don't like to cry in front of the family. And so I had to go upstairs and be alone. I went to the Tom Petty concert, and we were there, and my buddy Matsy was with me. Have I told you this story before in the air?
No.
We were there. And I don't know, I was unloading trucks at the time, and I don't know why I still got up in the morning and went and unloaded trucks. A job I had no problem calling off from because I was young and stupid. And for whatever reason, I'm like, nah, I'm going to toughen out. I'm going to work this day. This dumb, hungover as hell, terrible day. Either way. Was there that night. We're in the bathroom. And I'm standing there, and I'm going to the bathroom. You know, we're going number one. I'm next to my buddy, Matsy. And there's this other guy next to him. And this woman, like, pops her head in and is like said some guy's name. And they're like, hey, oh, it's a men's room. Oh, hey, oh, men's room. And they're like, she pops out. And someone's like, there's a woman in here? I got to clean up the language a little bit. And basically, there's a term for this, but I'm not going to say it because we'll get thrown off the air. But there was the, you ever see Brewster's Millions where, yes, she sure wasn't ugly. Like, it went down to that, and this guy all of a sudden goes, that's my wife. And I go, zip it up right now. Betsy. And these dudes, I mean, right behind us in this bathroom at Blossom, haymaker after haymaker, and we are like covering up as we're going to go. There's a fight at the Tom Petty concert of all places. My God.
Yeah, just enjoy the music. Come on. It's a legend.
We go out there. The cops come running in. They're like doing like the, they got the night, they're holding the nightstick, getting ready to bring the nightstick out. Like it was bad. And you just hear guys getting it in the bathroom.
Big boss man.
You're ever in Summit County, Ohio, you better respect the law and order and don't be getting in fights in the men's room. All over this one, he just had to defend his wife's honor. I mean, I don't blame the guy. Shouldn't have said what they had said. I had a better feeling about that fight than I do the Cavs game tonight because all you guys.
Oh, come on.
Yep, there you go. There you go. How you like that? I'll take, you know what? Here's Luke in Elyria. He's going to get you ready for a playoff game. Hello, Luke.
How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful, Luke. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Listen, I think trade Darius Garland for John Morant straight up. Who says no?
All right.
Yeah, there you go. We're ready for Cavs basketball.
That's what you're thinking?
We're ready for Cavs basketball.
On day game number three.
If Owen was here, we'd be playing Tonight's the Night. Nobody knows how to find it without Owen. Again, after another legendary rocker, we'd be playing Cavs basketball. Here we are. Yeah, you guys are ready for game three.
How about we – I got a trade for you. How about
General Manager Andrew Berry of the Browns. He joins us at 9:15.
How about we trade the Darius Garland that can't play for the Darius Garland – that will play tonight, because it will mean the world of a difference in this series if they get him back.
Please, dear God.
They are better than the Pacers. The Pacers have somehow been turned into... You know how I listen to these national...
A bad feeling, because you guys have a bad
Kenny,
feeling.
You know how I listen to these national podcasts, and I'm hearing guys go...
You listen to too many of them.
Man, whoa, Indiana, better than we thought. No, they're not. The Cavs are injured. It's the only reason they're down 2-0 in the series. Can we just be honest for 2 seconds? Yes, it was a meltdown, and there were a lot of mistakes that the Cavs made at the end of that game, but they coughed it up. The Pacers did not claim it.
Yeah.
It got coughed up.
How can
anybody watch it and say otherwise?
I really wish. I really wish people were with you on this. I mean, this is the last gasp, guys, and I ain't going to lie to you. Like, I know, and I said this a couple days ago, and I meant it a couple days ago. I got a lot of folks out there. The Cavs are... Maybe it's because my dad would walk by in the living room and my dad never liked basketball and he thought I was wasting my time. I've had a more special spot in my heart for the Cavs than I've had just about anybody else. And that's a surprising thing because I know I'm Mr. Football for talking football all the time. And I get all these accusations. Hey, well, the only reason I never talk Cavs because of Lima. Lima picks everything we talk about. Okay? I want to talk about the Cavs. If you think I'd rather sit here and watch the Cavs lose and then sit there and talk about what Shedeur Sanders had for breakfast, or whether or not he's being nice to Dylan Gabriel, or whether or not Joe Flacco's actually looking for real estate in Northeast Ohio, or any of that other stuff that we get into, I mean, you're crazy. You are absolutely nuts, and you don't know me. I am nervous. I don't want them to lose. I want them to win. I want them to go further because I don't want to find ourselves talking about some of the very nasty things we could talk about if they lose. If they go and they play the Celtics after this and they lose, I'll deal with it. But, man, they lose this series. I brought this up on Tuesday, and I'm right about it, and I know I'm – or Wednesday, and I know I'm right about it, is that we'll get more Luke and Illyrius. We will get more of those calls.
Oh, obviously, yes.
We will get more craziness out of it. So that's where we're at, man, okay, personally and professionally, because this is year three with this same nucleus. And I can only say that they're injured for so long. And I can only say it so much. Let me get to Mark and Wycliffe real quick. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. So morning. We're talking about the importance of getting Garland back on this floor. I bet the Pacers would love to see Garland on that floor. The way Kenny's talking about how physical – this series has been. I'm afraid Garland's not going to make it.
Lima, your thoughts?
Well, what do you mean? Are you saying, Mark, that a banged up Garland they would love to see? Because that I would agree with you. Are you saying the healthy, almost all healthy NBA Darius Garland from this year?
Yes, now, even healthy. I mean, he might get you 18 and a half, 21 points, but on the defensive end, they're going to eat him alive.
That's actually a fair point. I know I want to get mad at you. No, I know I want to get mad at you, Mark, but that's actually a fair point.
Yeah,
that's part of the reason I would hold him out if I were Kenny Atkinson in these first two games.
That,
thank you for the call.
Unfortunately, they've been eating alive a lot of the guys that are trying to defend, notably Ty Jerome, who obviously is a zero on offense right now, but he has no shot on defense. Halliburton, when he had the ball at the end of that game, that job of putting that ball down on the floor like a yo-yo and picking his angle, how he was going to go one-on-one against Halliburton, he was messing with him. He was playing with him. He knew there was nothing that Jerome, once he got him off balance, then it was step back time, and that was a practice shot with the game on the line. What I mean by that is at no point was there a threat that shot was going to be contested.